The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Hey, this is Grant Wilson from Ghost Hunters, and if you ever have time that you never want to get back, spend it listening to Mike and Dave on the Odyssey Files.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X. It is 7:01 on Monday night, February 18th, 2019. You were listening to the Odyssey Files. I am your host, Michael O'Neill. With me, as always, about 2 minutes before showtime, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Sunring. Good evening, Dave. Happy Monday.
Thanks, Mike. It's a wonderful Monday, and happy President's Day to everybody. And not to give anything away, but that's going to come in to the show and play a large part in what we're doing tonight.
Plays a complete part into what we're doing tonight. It obviously I spent most of the day, you know, in dreamland, but it definitely. Did you have school off on President's Day when you were a kid? Because I don't remember ever having school off, and now they do.
Yeah, I don't remember ever having school off on President's Day either. I mean, but I know that, like, even a lot of government jobs and stuff have the day off today. Like, my sister didn't have to work today.
Yeah, no. I got the government stuff. Like, I understand that. But, like, my job, obviously, is in transportation and delivery of freight, I guess you could call it.
Yep.
You know, a person's far richer than me order a whole bunch of stuff, but like I couldn't send out anything today that went to a school or something, like, because they were all closed.
Huh.
I was talking to one of my employees, and he was talking about how his kids had the day off today, and I mean, I don't remember ever having the day off on President's Day.
I'll be honest with you. I don't remember having it off either. I think we just had the major days, like, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and Memorial Day and Labor Day.
Yeah.
That's all I really remember. Yeah.
You know, and soon to be my birthday, we'll have off.
Well, after mine, yeah. I'm older than you, so mine comes first.
No, because I never mind. I'm not gonna say. But then again, my birthday's New Year's Eve, so half the people have it off anyway.
Right, there you go.
So I can half claim to fame on that one, and I guess yours would be more definitive.
Because it would be kind of just after Thanksgiving and a couple weeks before Christmas. So that would be like, you know that I did something really famous. If all of a sudden we have a new holiday in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, where everybody gets a day off.
Yeah. Everybody loves that time of year because of all the extra days off you get.
Right.
It's wonderful. I love that time of year, and that might be a contributing factor.
Yeah. Yeah. And now the sad part is, as we look forward here, you know, none of us have any time off until Memorial Day. And so now we got like 3 months of crappy, snowy, wet, you know, weather. I will say Mother Nature's coming back with a strong punch here for us after giving us a nice mild beginning of the winter. We're definitely paying the price now.
Yes. Thank you for turning this into decent Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
With your shiny outlook on life.
Yeah.
So Dave and I, cliched as it is, decided that we would do a show in honor of our presidents, because pretty much, like, I don't know if a lot of people know it, but the White House, for years and years and years and years, decades, probably even close to like 100 years now, has been known as the most haunted location in the country. But nobody, like nobody, as far as I'm aware, has ever actually investigated it. Like, it's just all claims.
Yeah, nobody yet. You know, when we get our invite, we'll be able to say it previously had not been investigated, but obviously we got to go investigate it, so.
Well, I'm actually, it was funny that you say that, because I actually, before, while Obama was still in office, but like after the election, when he became the quote unquote lame duck president, yep. I actually considered writing him a message and asking him, well, since you're out, you know, you're headed out, nobody really cares. You know, this is a time when you can get away with stuff because you're on your way out the door. Can my team come in and investigate the White House? I will pass a background check. I assure you of that.
Yeah.
So I never got around to it. And so I'm going to wait for the next cool president to make that request to.
Well, there you go.
It will happen.
Yeah.
I think that you get an open-minded president or just people in general in that make those decisions enough, and everybody passes a background check. I would think that in order to investigate the Lincoln's bedroom, like, you would probably have to pass like an FBI background check.
No, I think if you get in, you're in. I think, you know, once you get past the main doors, you're good to go. I think you pretty much get free reign of the place.
Well, I mean, they have tours. There's places you can't go. I mean, obviously, I don't think, is the Oval Office part of the tour? Maybe it is, because that's like the most important room.
Yeah, probably.
But like the living section of that's off. Like, you can't go into like where the president, the first lady, you know, live.
Right. But that would be Trump's bedroom, and I don't want to go into Trump's bedroom anyway. So
I'm really trying hard not to say the Trump name and just put in the future when it's not President Trump.
Yeah, well, I don't want to go in their bedroom anyway, but the only way that we're going to go do the investigation is if we get, you know, full access. So we'll just tell them, hey, Trump, don't worry about it, Donald. You go ahead, you know, you can leave your stuff out and whatever in your room. That's cool. We're not going in your room anyway. We're going to be focusing on, like, the Andrew Jackson suite and the Lincoln bedroom and where his office used to be and stuff like that.
Right.
Because that's where a lot of the claims, a lot of the reports. We'll just be on the second floor. How about that? Because I'm sure they live on the first floor. So we're just going to be on the second floor. We don't even need to be on the first floor. We're just going up on the second floor.
Because if you, if I read it correctly, and we're going to get into President Lincoln here in the second half of the show. But one of the claims was that he was seen staring out the Oval Office window.
His old office window is what I read. And so his bedroom's upstairs. So I don't think his office was the Oval Office. I think maybe he used an office, like maybe he had a private little office, is what I kind of read that as. But
oh yeah, no, I always thought that was the Oval Office, because I had heard something about that before. I just never. No. It's right. Wait. Yeah, first person to see Lincoln's ghost. According to her, the lanky former president was standing looking out a window of the Oval Office.
Okay.
Across the Potomac to the former Civil War battlefields beyond.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, and I would think with everything that has happened in the Oval Office over the
centuries.
History. Really? Yeah, over the history of the White House, that would be a hot spot for, like, everything. Like, that's where the most intense stuff happened. I mean, even, I can't remember who it was. I think it was Lyndon B. Johnson, I think, wrote to his wife saying that he was just doing a bunch of, he was doing his job, you know, paperwork, writing speeches.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And, oh no, it was Harry Truman. Sorry. But he even wrote to his wife saying, I sit here in this old house and work on foreign affairs, read reports and work on speeches, all the while listening to the ghosts walk up and down the hallway and even right here in the study. Okay, so he wasn't in the Oval Office. He was in the study. The floors pop and the drapes move back and forth. And he had it. And this I love. I absolutely love this. And I think this might be... this is definitely going to be a topic that you and I hit, not tonight, but in the future. But he says, I can just imagine old Andy Jackson and Teddy Roosevelt having an argument over Franklin Roosevelt.
Yeah.
So I find that fascinating, the prospect that old presidents are like arguing with each other in the White House.
That would be hilarious.
It would be hilarious. Yeah. Get a recorder out. I would.
That would be, that would be hilarious.
So,
well, while we're on that, the interesting thing too was Truman, because that's who you just said, right? It was Truman that heard that?
It was Truman that wrote that to his wife.
So let's stick on Truman for a minute. So the thing that I read about Truman was that in 1946, he had gone to bed early, about 9 p.m., when he awoke to three loud knocks on his bedroom door. And that was at 3 a.m. It says in the article that I read, it said he jumped up out of bed, put on his robe, and opened the door, expecting there to be some type of emergency. When he opened up the door, nobody was there. So he looked up and down the hall, didn't see anything, went to his wife's room, went to Margie's room, didn't find anybody. The next morning, he had talked to the Secret Service, and there was nobody from the Secret Service patrolling the floor at that time. And then, so he went back to bed, and he locked the door, you know, cause he's like, well, whatever it is, you could just stay out in the hallway, you know? So he locks the door and then goes back to bed. And as he's laying back in bed, trying to fall back asleep, he hears loud footsteps in his wife's room, which was next door. And that's the only door he said that he didn't lock. And it's documented in his library in a letter that he wrote by hand to his wife that says, honey, the damn place is haunted, sure as shooting. You and Margie had better get back and protect me before some of these ghosts carry me off.
He can't come back and protect me.
I thought that was classic, man. This damn place is haunted, sure as shooting. I love that quote.
Sure as shooting. You don't hear that ever anymore.
No, but classic. And I love the fact that he locked the door. Instead of just notifying staff, he just locks the door. You can't come in.
Well, so is, I don't know, I guess the one thing that was surprising out of that one was that him and his wife had different rooms.
Yeah, I think kind of back in the day, I don't think that was abnormal.
Oh. Well.
I think they would have adjoining rooms kind of thing, but I think that they slept in their own. And I think that was more for like, I don't think that, well, and I don't know this to be a fact, but I'm just guessing here that maybe they didn't vacation as much as our newer presidents do. So they were actually living in the White House. So if there was like some sort of emergency or somebody had to get a hold of the president, I think he was accessible 24/7. And it was probably part of a respect thing not to like disturb your family because you have to handle presidential affairs. They didn't want to walk in on the first lady in her nightgown. Because, you know, back in the 40s, that would be totally improper.
well, technically it is still kind of improper.
Well, not in today's society. I mean, it's not like, I'm sure she was wearing a nightgown from neck to toes.
Well, yeah.
You know?
100%.
Nowadays, you'd have like little tiny silk boy shorts on or something, you know?
Yes, yes, indeed. I actually didn't know about that one. I had heard the claim knocking on the door and whatnot. And obviously, a lot of footsteps.
Yep. Lots and lots of footsteps up and down the halls.
So you would think that you would expect, obviously, that former presidents would be there. But the one thing that surprised me in mine is the guy that sold them the land.
Yeah, the Burroughs guy? Daniel Burroughs or something like that?
Burns,
there you go.
Yeah, David Burns. you were close.
Well, I had the initials right, DB, right?
Yeah, so. Yes, you did. That's what I mean. You were close.
That's close.
But I had never heard his name before, like ever.
Nope.
And supposedly, this woman, Lillian Rogers Parks, who was a seamstress that worked in the White House for 30 years, she wrote a book. That told the story of a valet to President Roosevelt. I have no idea how they are, why the seamstress is writing, unless seamstress is another word for valet. Am I, like, because they had different classifications of what these people did.
Yeah. But
why a seamstress is writing a story about a valet to the president, who reportedly heard a disembodied voice coming from the yellow oval room? Is that another word for the Oval Office?
Well, I think there's only one oval room in the White House, isn't there?
That's what I thought. But I don't know why they called it the yellow oval room, unless that was like pre-Oval Office. Like,
yeah.
They changed it to the Oval Office.
It
used to be the yellow oval room.
That could be.
That was a good change. It was a good change.
Yeah, because the yellow oval room doesn't sound very impressive.
No, it really doesn't. President will maybe be making a statement from the yellow oval room this evening. Yeah, no.
No.
But anyway, this person heard a disembodied voice coming from the oval room saying, "I'm Mr. Burns." And, like, that's it. So I'm.
He probably wants his land back. Now that he sees how successful, like what a famous place was built on it, he probably feels he didn't get enough money.
I think that's. I guess I don't know. Has there ever been claims of a spirit coming back? Because he thought that. Maybe he just didn't get enough money.
Wouldn't that be like a spirit being wronged, right?
Well, I mean, it's not like he was necessarily wronged. I don't know.
I don't know.
But
well, why was he there then?
No, I
admiring don't know. The place, or just announcing the fact that he was going to be taking the tour that day, or what?
that would be hilarious.
Hi, it's me. I'm here to take the tour.
But
just thought I'd check in.
I guess that's not the that's not the only time he was heard. So I guess during Truman's administration, again, a guard heard a similar voice, thinking that it was the Secretary of State's James Burns. And he went looking for him, only to learn that the secretary wasn't even in the White House that day. Huh. So.
Well, keeping on that topic for a second, I found this was interesting. So we were talking about doing, like, getting in and investigating the White House, which, you know, it's a long shot. But, hey, you're telling me there's a chance, right? One in a million. So Jared Broach is the founder of a company called Nightly Spirits, which offers tours of haunted areas in several cities across the country. But when he started the tour company in 2012, he only offered one, which was the White House. So, and his quote was, "The White House has the best ghost stories, and I'd call them the most verified. Honestly, we could do a 10-hour tour if we really had the time and wanted to." But one of his favorite stories is about David Burns, who sold the land where the White House sits and whose voice had been reportedly heard in the Oval Office. "I'm Mr. Burns," Broach would always say during tours when he got to that part of the story. Asked if he believes in ghosts, Broach said for sure, and then pointed to more prestigious authorities. He said, "If I said no, I'd be calling about 8 different presidents liars," he said. That's how many, according to him, that's how many different presidents have documented like ghostly sightings or hauntings or things going bump in the night. And how that guy got it to do ghostly tours in the White House, I have no idea. I didn't have time to look him up, so.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Like, me either.
You would think that that would be something of a news story, that especially because they do a lot of stories, the media does, on tours.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. And never have I heard that there's like a late night, I can't even really say a late night, but, you know, a night flashlight type ghost tour of the White House. Never have I heard that.
Nope. I hadn't either until I read that. And that was in the Washington Post. So, and that was, you know, a late 2018 article. So I think that, I think it'd be cool as hell. I think if I got out that way, and I would definitely sign up for that just to be able to go strolling through the White House for a couple hours with this guy and listen to all the great ghost stories. And, of course, have my K2 and my recorder with me.
I wonder if that's even allowed.
To be documenting evidence. Well, I'm sure you get strip searched before you go in. But, you know, after that, then we'll see. I mean, I don't know. You probably can't. You probably just get to go in and listen to stories, but. Still be cool.
I would think that if anything, you'd be able to probably at least have a recorder, because I'm assuming that people are going to want like audio of all these stories and whatnot, so they could listen later. Stuff like that. I would think that would be all right.
Yeah.
So, I am currently at the present second. I am tweeting at President Obama to see if he has had any weird experiences in the White House.
Hmm.
You think I'll get a response?
You might. I would go to Michelle, though. I think Michelle would be more likely to give you a response than Obama would.
Really?
I think so. Hmm.
I think so, too. But
I think she's much more approachable. And she's much more, I don't know. I just think she'd be much more likely to respond than he would.
Hmm. Maybe if I don't get one from the president, I can go to the first lady.
Yeah.
Wonder if he's ever been asked that question. You think about these people that get asked questions every day.
Right.
Of their lives, or not of their lives, of their current lives, about this and that. I wonder if anybody has been like, "So, you experienced the Lincoln Ghost?"
It'd be interesting to find out. I'm sure that there has been many, many, many conversations in the White House concerning past stories of ghostly visits, and probably a lot of stories about Abe, because that seems to be like the biggest, most reported, most sightings, you know, than versus everybody else. I mean, but there are more, you know. I mean, so before we get into that, I got a good one. Oh no, you know what? I'm going to save that one because that will put that with Lincoln, because that runs with Lincoln. But this one's good. So, in 1989, White House curator Rex Scouten said that President Ronald Reagan's dog would freely roam into every room of the White House, except for Lincoln's room. He'd stop right at the door, wouldn't go through the door, over the threshold. He'd just stand outside, stare, and bark, and never once went in the room, into Lincoln's bedroom, but he freely went into every other room of the house. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And that was 1989.
I guess I didn't, I didn't read that one. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because you would think that the energy of Lincoln would be
positive.
Well, yeah, welcome him in.
Right.
So I'm trying to find, everything that I have right now, left is like all Lincoln.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Cause then I got a couple. So
yeah, go do it. Right. Do your thing.
So there's also what I found. There's also haunting accounts involving two presidents' wives. So Abigail Adams, who was the first lady to live in the White House, or the first lady, sorry, to live in the White House, and used to use the East Room to dry sheets in. It said, since her death, there have been many reports of sightings of her likeness in that area. She walks, according to all accounts, with her arms outstretched as if holding clean linens. Now that is just sad, that the former first lady's ghost is still walking around doing laundry in the East Room. So that's one of the things that we're going to focus on when we get in there, is to just tell her, Abigail, honey, Abigail, listen to me. Put those stupid linens down. Put the linens down. You're good to go. You don't have to be here anymore doing laundry. Go enjoy your life. Everything's cool, right? The White House has got a washing machine now. So
there's, I'm sure they have many, many washing machines. it's actually funny because a month or so ago or whatever, a person on my Facebook page had posted this. You know how you get these memes that are just words, they're funny sayings and whatnot.
Yeah.
One of them was, I'm paraphrasing here, was along the lines of, if you think that, nothing is ever waiting for you, he's like, laundry is always waiting for you. I actually didn't know that one. I did read that. I couldn't remember who is attributed to that one, but I did read that the room that she did it in was, because of the swampy nature of, Washington DC at that time, that was the driest and warmest of the rooms in the White House. That's why she did it there. But yes, I did know about that one, which I found hilarious. I've obviously laundry baskets can't move on to the other side.
No.
Just the people that are holding them. That's sad.
So here's another good one. So Dolly Madison, obviously loved to do gardening. And she's the one who put in the rose garden. And so it says here that during the Woodrow Wilson administration, staff members reported seeing her ghost as they were about to move the rose garden. I guess there was a conversation held with the president and some other people, and they apparently decided afterward to leave it where she had originally planted it. So she used to garden all the time. I guess they actually saw her in the rose garden when they were talking about moving it. Her spirit actually came back and said, no, I don't think so. See, I put this here for a reason. You're not going to be moving it. This one's even more interesting, though. So the first lady is also connected to another storied Washington location. So in the War of 1812, the British burned down their home. And she and the president, James Madison, moved to the Octagon House on the corner of 18th Street and New York Avenue, Northwest, if that matters, making it the temporary White House at that time. So unexplained occurrences there have been linked to the deaths of three women, including two daughters of the wealthy man who built the house. In both incidences, according to newspaper accounts, the women had argued that their father had argued with their father about who they wanted to marry and then fell from the same staircase to their death. Now, that seems kind of a very, very large coincidence. Bells could be heard in the house when no one was there to ring them, reads a 1969 Washington Post article about the location. A specter of a girl in white could be seen slipping up the staircase. Terrifying screams and morbid groans could be heard emanating from the house. Some insisted that it was impossible to cross the hall at the foot of the stairwell where both the ladies died on certain days without unconsciously going around some unseen obstacle on the floor. So that was pretty interesting. So wealthy dad gets into an argument with two of his daughters. They both end up dead by falling down the staircase, and they both land in the same location at the bottom of the stairs dead. I don't think they were very happy that dad shoved them down the stairs because he didn't like the choice of their boyfriends.
You think that's what happened?
It's kind of what I'm thinking. I mean, why would they be back there haunting? And I like the fact, you know, I really like the fact that you can't walk across the bottom of the stairs on some days without like being, and then like walk and skirting around something, even though there's nothing there. I find that to be really interesting. Because I wonder if we do that unconsciously when we're on investigations. Like, I wonder if like sometimes we just like move over to another side of the hall, or if we take a step aside, you know, and just move around it, because we're busy focused on what we're doing, you know, or what we're about to do and what we're trying to accomplish. And I wonder if that's ever happened to us. I wonder if we ever have like had something there, like a death at the bottom of the stairs as an example, but it could be a million other things. And then we just were like, oh, yep, and just kind of walked around it, but we were still engaged in conversation or something and not paying attention to it. That's interesting.
I can't remember that ever happening, but then again, I mean, the whole point of it being like a subtle thing and us focusing on other things,
right,
definitely probably could have happened. Like, we're subconsciously aware that there is a presence there that we need to not walk through.
Right.
Or at.
Right.
Or into, I should say.
Right. Like, it's doing its thing and we're doing our thing and there's no animosity. We're just having respect and like walking around it, just skirting it and leaving it be, letting it do whatever it is that it's doing.
It's an interesting theory.
It is.
Okay, we're going to go to break and then we're going to come back. And
yay.
Well, that's the way everybody sees it.
I was just doing it out loud for the benefit of everybody who can't say anything. Right.
Right. I honestly can say that the best part of going to commercials is being able to come back.
Absolutely.
So we will be back here in a couple minutes, and we will continue our conversation about the spirits of the White House here on this President's Day. You're listening to the Odyssey Files on Para X.
UFOs, Bigfoot, cryptids.
All this is on the call. You think it's you listening to the words of our egg.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
Rat, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rat, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rat, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That's The Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan, every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
This is Elizabeth Saint. You know, in my journeys, I've confronted an over 1,000-year-old demon from the depths of Shepherdstown. But then, you know what happened? I came across Mike and Dave. And hot damn, nothing could have prepared me for the Odyssey Files. My second favorite radio show. I love you guys.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us here on this wonderful President's Day. Dave and I are still discussing the spirits of the White House. And now we're up to arguably the most popular, well-thought-of president of in history. Good old number 16, Honest Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why they made that great movie about him, Abe Lincoln, the Vampire Killer.
I thought that was awesome, to be honest great with movie. You.
I did too. Great movie. Love the movie.
I mean, just the whole, like, in between all of these, like, gaps in time and in his history, he was out there slaying vampires.
Slaying vamps.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
So one of the first, I'm trying to find out who it was, that saw him first. Cause I know the,
was that the one where he was staring out the window?
No. It was Grace Coolidge, who was the wife of President Calvin Coolidge.
Yep.
She was the first person to say that she had actually seen Lincoln's ghost. And yes, that was the one staring out of the Oval Office. I know that. What kind of name is Lady Bird?
Lady Bird Johnson. Yep.
Lady Bird Johnson. Felt Lincoln's presence one night while watching television. And it was about his death. Oh. Which I find hilarious. Not Lincoln's death, but the fact that she was watching a program about it and felt his presence. It was Eleanor Roosevelt. Okay. She actually... no, she wasn't the one. It was Queen... I can't pronounce this name of the Netherlands. Queen Wilhelmina?
Wilhelmina
of the Netherlands. And I thought this was what you were going to be talking about when you mentioned the three knocks on the door.
Yeah.
Earlier, I thought that was the story that you were going with, and it wasn't. But so she heard a knock on her bedroom door at night. She answered it and actually saw Lincoln's ghost wearing his top hat and fainted.
Yep.
So that was a wasted opportunity right there.
Well, absolutely, because she could have been like, oh my God, let me get my recorder and my K2. I am documenting this.
Why does everybody have to run for a K2?
Although it was 1942, so there was no K2s.
Yeah, there was no K2. I don't even think there were any recorders. Were
there? Oh, yeah, there was recorders, but it was the big reel-to-reels with the big heavy microphones and everything.
Excuse me while I read this.
Yeah. Hold on, right. Mr. President. Let me get this tape – let me get a tape started. Hold on.
I just need to filter this through the slot here and then wrap this around.
Yep.
And we'll be good to go. Just have a seat. I'll be right with you.
Oh, darn it. I forgot to plug in for the mic. Hold on a second. Let me go get the mic plug.
Can I get you some tea while I'm out?
While I'm waiting, yeah.
What I found interesting was that even Winston Churchill
Oh, no, that's the best story to me.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because he was visiting the White House during World War II.
Yep.
And he got out of the bathtub naked, obviously.
Yep. All he had was his cigar, they said. He was smoking because he always had his cigar. Yep.
Smoking his customary cigar, only to find Lincoln's ghost sitting by the fireplace in his room.
Yep. And he was sleeping. He was in the Lincoln bedroom. That's where he was staying. So.
I find that amazing.
The quote that he gave is what was amazing.
Oh, this actually doesn't have.
It doesn't have the quote?
No, mine didn't have the quote. It just had the claim.
Okay. So when he encountered Abe Lincoln sitting by the fireplace, he paused for a moment and he said, "Good evening, Mr. President. You seem to have me at a disadvantage." I love that. That's like the best Lincoln story, man. You see, I mean, how calm was that response, right? He's standing there butt naked with a smoke and a cigar, and he walks out and sees the dead president and, "Excuse me, Mr. President, but you seem to have me at a disadvantage."
It's such a British thing to say.
It is, isn't it? And it's just all calm. He's all peace, like, "Oh, let me get a robe and I'll come sit next to you in the other chair by the fireplace, you know."
Tally-ho, old chap.
Oh, I thought that was classic, man.
But so did the claim go on? Because mine didn't. It's just that he saw him sitting by the fireplace.
Nope. That was all mine said too, basically, is that was what he said to him, and then it didn't carry on from there. But that was 2 years before that was in 1940. So that was 2 years before Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands. Because hers was in 1942.
But both during the Roosevelt presidency is what I'm looking for.
Yep.
There was a lot of sightings during his presidency.
Yeah, now before we get deep into, like, you know, talking about him and stuff that happened, like, with his kid too, one of the things that I found interesting was that they say that Annie Surratt's ghost reportedly knocks on the front doors of the White House pleading for the release of her mother, Mary Surratt, who was convicted of playing a role in the Lincoln assassination and hung. And it was actually a picture of four conspirators, and she was one of them, that were hung at Fort... I didn't write down the name. But Fort, one of the forts there. And it actually had in the archival photos a photo of the four co-conspirators to the Lincoln assassination being hung. And so they say that they hear knocks on the front doors, and that they think it's her daughter's ghost pleading for her mom to be released.
Why? They seem to not only have obviously spirits of just former presidents, but the people that are, like, directly affected by the presidents.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, we know how, you know, and we talked about this already. I mean, I mentioned it in the first half, but we know how sensitive animals are, you know, and in 1989 for President Reagan's dog not to go into any other room or to go in every single room except for Lincoln's, standing at the threshold and just barking. I mean, I think that's interesting. I think that says something, you know, that there's some type of energy in that room that set that dog off. And that dog was like, "No way am I going in there."
Yeah, especially since Lincoln was a Republican.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. Absolutely. That's probably why, yeah.
Well, no, because even though I think... Hold on. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Even though I believe Lincoln ran as a Democrat, they say that his... Now, if he still had his same beliefs, now he'd be a Republican, is what I'm saying.
Right.
So I'm saying with Reagan being a Republican and Lincoln being one, you would think the dog would be more
apt to go in there and pee on the rug instead of standing at the dog at the door barking. Yeah, exactly. I was thinking that exact same thing.
I'm sure. Well, great minds think alike, Dave. That's all I got.
Absolutely.
So, I lost my spot here. Well,
let's get into something that I find very interesting here in the last 15 minutes, because this will probably take us through the end of the show. You go ahead and you had found something I didn't find, which was that after Willie's death, which was their son, who died in the White House in 1862 at age 11 from typhoid fever. I know that they said that President Lincoln used to have regular visits from his son, and that he talked about him with staff and even wrote about it. And I don't know if there's anything that survived and is in writing, like in his library or not. But I know that Mary Todd Lincoln saw Willie supposedly only once at the foot of her bed. But you found something interesting about Mary Todd Lincoln that I did not. So let's go there.
Yeah, she used to hold seances at the White House to contact and try to talk to her sons. I did not find how often they happened, but the fact that they found it that it needed to be told was that the president himself joined in on two of them. So that leads me to believe, obviously, that there was many, many, many more.
Right, more than two, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, but Mary Todd Lincoln believed strongly in the occult. She tried to commune with the spirits of her dead sons. She told friends she had heard President Jackson stomping and swearing through the halls of the presidential residence. The Rose Room, which was Jackson's bedchamber while he was president, is still believed to be one of the most haunted rooms in the White House. And I honestly have not heard much, not many claims about Jackson's spirit.
The only thing I've heard is about the swearing.
The swearing?
That's all I saw. Multiple articles. All I saw about Jackson was that he had a very bright and colorful vocabulary. Anytime anybody's reported anything about his ghost was hearing him swearing and stomping around. So he obviously was frustrated about something.
Yes. I did not get how many or how often, but I would assume that she probably did it fairly regularly.
Right.
I definitely found that very, very interesting. Along with the fact of Lincoln himself dreamed of his death. Kind of foresaw it coming.
I would say that from what I read too, and what I've seen, that it was like almost exactly how it happened. So it was almost like he had a premonition of his demise, the way he described it. It was almost exactly how it played out, which is scary, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that one. But you almost got to wonder then, because this was, he had happened a few times. He had a few of these premonitions.
Right, right.
And one was right before it actually happened.
Right.
So you almost wonder if in some way, like, he went to that theater knowing that that was going to be the end, and that he played his part, so to speak,
in history.
Not only in history, but just in the universe, in the grand scheme of everything.
Right.
That maybe he had the mentality and the attitude of, if this is how I'm supposed to go, who am I to argue? That sort of thing.
If you could be a fly on the wall, what better time would there be, let's say, than from the last premonition he had until the night he was actually shot, to be able to follow him around and see one way or the other if he knew that that was going to be his destiny? And if he was like racing around trying to complete things and stuff like that and get things that were important to him taken care of before being shot, you know, before he knew he was going to be assassinated. That would be amazing if you could do that. But we'll never know.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Well, that's got to be the questions that we're going to ask him when we investigate the White House.
Well, oh, yeah. I mean, that's one. You know, it's going to be a three-day lockdown, man. We're not, I mean.
After 72 hours.
I think so, because I'm not feeling that four to six hours is going to be enough. I mean, I can't even get, I won't get through my questions in 4 hours just in Lincoln's room, let alone the rest of the White House.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. I think that would be probably the hugest honor any investigator could probably ever have, to be like, okay, you get Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night during these hours, you know, after obviously the White House closes down for the night.
Right.
And you have access to these rooms to be able to have like the free reign or the ability to try and contact some of the most influential people in the history of the world, let alone American culture.
Yes. Yeah, that would be a privilege.
Oh, it would be way more than a privilege, but it would definitely be an opportunity that really nobody else will probably ever have, because I would think one and done is about all. You know, we trust these people to bring us evidence and to find whatever they can find, and then we don't need it again.
Right, but, exactly, because then it would just be repetitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, as soon as one person comes in, then you're going to get Zach Bagans being like, well, how about us?
Oh, they're not going to let Zach in.
No, they won't.
No.
And that makes me respect the White House so much more.
Yeah. I was going to say, because, you know, that's just, you know, they don't want it to be a TV show. They want legitimate, documented evidence.
Agreed. So far, I'm unhappy. I'm disappointed to report. I still have not received a response from President Obama.
Well, you know, he might be busy watching his favorite TV show or something. It is kind of prime time, so you know, maybe at eight when the, you know, there's a break before the next show comes on, maybe he'll jump on there and be like, oh sure, Mike, I can get you an invite in there.
Oh, I didn't ask him if I could investigate the White House. I asked him if he had ever experienced anything while in office. I just wanted the claims. I didn't want permission to get in. I couldn't ask him anyway, even though I'm sure he's still quite influential.
I was going to say, yeah, former presidents, I think they got a little bit of draw. I think if a former president wants to go to the White House, I don't think they're going to say no.
I guess it would depend on why, and you would have to ask the current president.
Probably be like,
yeah, no.
No.
I don't need to see him.
Nah. You were here for 4 years. That's enough.
Well, he was there for eight.
Eight years.
That makes it so. I can just think that over 8 years he's had to have
multiple experiences.
Yes, there we go. That's exactly how I was trying to phrase it.
Yeah, you're tripping me up now. Is it like, you're like, blah, 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 blah.
He's had to have had.
Yes. Multiple.
Say it slowly, Mike. Say it slowly.
Yeah.
The question remains, though. I guess I can see. So here's my question to you as we finish up the show. Nobody seems, and this is the one thing that I got out of reading all of these things, nobody seems to have actually interacted with any of the spirits. Like, they never, none of the spirits ever claimed to be trying to
talk to them or pass a message along. Right.
Yeah, exactly. The only one that really kind of has is Mr. Burns by just saying, "I'm Mr. Burns."
Right.
So my question to you is do you think that because of the intensity of just being president in general, especially like during the Civil War, you know, the Washington with the, you know, the Revolutionary War, even though that was after, you know, before he became president, but you just think that with the intensity and all of the moments that happens during these people's presidency, do you think that what people are seeing is residual?
Yeah, I would say a vast majority of it is, because I think like exactly, you know, they're experiencing these humongous, like, vital moments in our history and in their lives, and in you know, they're making decisions that are going to affect the whole country and all of the citizens. So I think there's been some monumental decisions that have had to been made, and I think with that comes a lot of emotions. And I think with those emotional releases, I think that there's definitely been times that have just been imprinted in there where you're going to see residual stuff. Like I think Lincoln standing in the Oval Office looking out the window. I would definitely say that that's residual. The Queen Wilhelmina, I don't know about that one. You know, I mean, like, why would he walk up and knock on the door? And he might have been trying to tell her something, but she just totally freaked out and fainted. I mean, but he took the time not to just walk in the room, you know, he knocked on the door. So, and then I think the only other time maybe would be with Winston Churchill's. And I wish there was more to that story, but that's like all I can find about that. So I wonder, you know, like when he said, "You have me at, you know, sorry, sir, but you have me at a disadvantage." I wonder if at that point, did he go and get a robe and come back? Was Lincoln still there? I mean, if so, usually a residual haunting, it's a brief second or two. You know, if he went back in the bathroom and got a robe and came back out and Lincoln was still there, well, that's like a conscious entity still in that amount of time, still sitting there. Maybe he did sit next to him at the fireplace and have a conversation, or maybe they didn't speak. Maybe they just sat there and looked at each other, you know, or just smiled or something. In that, I would say, would be an intelligent, you know. So the thing that we both found that we haven't talked about yet, and this is a good way to kind of wrap things up, is that Abraham Lincoln's ghost always seems to come back when he feels that the country is in need, in jeopardy, or in peril. And that anytime that our country seems to be in like an adverse type of situation, his energy for some reason wants to come back and help. And I would say that to me, the fact that that's happening would not be residual. I would say that that's an intelligent type of situation, that somehow he recognizes it and he's coming back trying to help in whatever way he possibly can.
But not only that, when you were talking about the knocking on the door, I mean, that's the very respectful thing to do.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, that would almost, that would almost leave way to the thought of, you know, he knew that there was a female in
Correct.
The room.
And that's
and
what I was thinking.
The proper etiquette was to knock on the door and wait for her to open it.
Right. Let her get her robe, let her get to the door. Right. Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's definitely one we're going to tackle once we get permission to investigate the White House.
Absolutely.
That does it for us tonight. So thank you all for listening. Happy President's Day.
And absolutely.
We'll be back next week with another new awesome show. For Dave and myself, everybody have a good week and good night.